FM, making it a better world, one broadcast at a time. Free your mind!
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you are tuned into WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find me online. You can find me Garland Nixon on Telegram. Of course, Facebook, Garland Nixon. You can find me Garland.Nixon on Instagram. Look up Garland Nixon on YouTube. And of course, you can email me my first name and the first letter of my last name, which is garlandin@gmail.com. Garlandin@gmail.com. Feel free to email me. Now, we haven't been taking calls recently simply because we were in fund drive, and it was certainly critical that we do everything we can to make sure that WPFW is on the air. And I will start by, well, first of all, let me give out the number because we got to take calls tonight. 202-588-0893. We got open lines. I got to hear what you have. Haven't talked to my peeps in 2 weeks. So I'm ready to hear from everybody, all the people that call, and hear what you got to say about things going on out here. But at any rate, I definitely want to thank everybody. You know, the people that listen to this show, man, they really step up to the plate. They really do everything they can to help to fund the station and to help keep our little movement thing we got going on at WPFW and we have on News Views going. Certainly appreciate it. We hit our numbers. We went above our numbers. Wow. You know, I'm just overwhelmed by everything that people were able to do. And, you know I get to ranting and raving. I get emotional, all that kind of stuff. But I guess some people just figure like, well, you know, whether I agree with Garland or not, at least he's real. At least he's saying what he's got to say. He's saying what he believes in. So the number is 202-588-0893. Let's start talking about some of the things that are going on right now. Needless to say, I'm furious. I'm angry every day. I'm night and day angry, emotional, sometimes tears coming out of my eyes, furious, jumping up and down, screaming over the genocide in Gaza. And trust me when I tell you this, that's not an exaggeration. I'm not saying that for effect. I really do, you know, go through an emotional roller coaster here. There's no point in me lying. I go through an emotional roller coaster at times, which it just makes me furious. I mean, you know, all honesty, you know, like I'll be walking down the road or driving around and I'll see like a small little cute baby, a little cute child that I just happen to look at. Oh, that's a cute child. And what'll pop into my mind is, wow, a bomb dropping down and like tearing that little cute child to pieces. And the mother's carrying the child and a bomb ripping the child's head off, the mother's head off. You know what I mean? I will see that in my mind. And then like I'm walking down the street and I'm like kind of rubbing my eyes, pretending like nothing's wrong, but I have tears in my eyes because it hurts me so bad. So I'm sure I'm not the only person that's going through this. A lot of people are going through this every single day. And it just infuriates me. And then I think, well, I'm selfish. Yeah, I'm thinking about me. I'm like, oh, darn, why should I have to go through this? Well, the heck, all I'm going through is an emotional roller coaster when other people are standing there with their children that's been torn in half. And it infuriates me. And it gives me an anger against our government, an anger against these both parties, an anger against every member of Congress, every single person that can never be extinguished. That's the kind of anger, the anger, even when it's over, if it's over, I don't know. We're going to take calls in a second, but I'll finish up by saying this. When and if it's over, because right now, before I go to calls, these are my thoughts. And people may say, you're always talking about Gaza. Well, it's always on my mind. But when I think about this, before we go to calls, I'm going to just say when I think about this, think about this. What are they doing? What are they doing? Oh, we're protecting ourselves. Wait a minute. You got a city like the size of Brooklyn or something, and you have cut off the exits. So the people can't leave, men, women, and children. You've shut the doors and locked them in this little concentration camp. You won't allow food and water in. Now think about this. Men, women, and children in here, shut the doors. No food, no water allowed in. They're not allowed to leave, and you throw bombs on them night and day. That is an extermination of human beings, men, women, and children. That is the most evil thing that can happen. And somebody going to come to me at the midterms and say, I got to vote for the Democrats or the Republicans. I don't think so. As far as I'm concerned, the only thing that the Democrats or the Republicans deserve is a Nuremberg trial. Every last one of them. The ones that are not screaming, the ones that are not saying, I resign, I quit, I cannot be a part of a government that locks the door and puts men, women, and children inside of this room, will not allow water and food and bombs them night and day. No. That evil government should not be supported by any thinking, caring human being. Even the fact that people came to me and told me that I should vote for Kamala Harris because I'm scared of Trump. Nobody who will be involved in an act that evil deserves support. They deserve something, but I ain't gonna say it, but it sure ain't support. They deserve a trial. And they deserve that whatever that trial finds that their punishment should be if they are found guilty. I believe in the rule of law. They deserve it. Every last member of Congress, every last politician, everyone who will be a part of that, everyone who will keep their mouth shut and be part of this criminal organization that the U.S. government deserves that and nothing else. Anyway, I know it sounds like I'm over the top, but is it really over the top? Am I over the top for saying this, or are the people who are slaughtering men, women, and children over the top? Think about that. 202-588-0893. Now, I know I'm freaking out about Gaza, which I do it every day, so, you know, it is what it is. Here's what I'm saying. Whatever you choose to talk about, lines are open. That's up to you. It's not restricted to Gaza. That's my thing I'm freaking out about, but I haven't talked to you in a couple weeks. So 202-588-0893. Number one, keep the phone close to your mouth so we can hear you. Number two, when you talk to Kalia and he says, hold on, don't set the phone down and listen to the computer or the radio because there's a 10-second delay. And when I say next caller, you won't hear me for 10 seconds. So keep the phone to your ear. 202-588-0893. First caller. You are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Garland, what's going on? It's Max calling from Maryland.
Talk to me, Max.
So I always make you talk about the things I want to talk about. So since Gaza is the topic, I want to talk to you about Gaza today as well.
All right.
So I actually do agree with you. I 100% agree with you. Like I think on the fundamental, just like just that Israel is an insanely like corrupt, like fascist state, like no doubt. Like, and even the fact that like over 50% of the people in Israel support the inhumane treatment of people in Gaza is even more glaring, kind of to how like even though every person in Israel is bad, I do think that there are people who are like philanthropists. But the fact that Netanyahu and Gavir, I mean, they are monsters. And we sponsored them. The United States of America is sponsoring them. So, I think one question I want to ask you though, as you were talking about it, I was just like reviewing some like bills involved in the war that were passed over the last like year or so. Do you think that there's any love for people like AOC or Bernie who haven't just voted right down the line yes on everything with the Israel Gaza situation, or no? Are they completely?
Well, you know, I remember Bernie. I remember when this thing first started, and Bernie was out there screaming, "We can't have a ceasefire because it'll only help Hamas." And AIPAC put a video of Bernie up on their YouTube, on their X account. Well, it'll only help Hamas. And at that time, I'm like, "What is he talking about? They're dropping bombs and they're killing men, women, and children." And to me, okay, here's my point. I think, Max, I'll make it brief. What's happening is so egregious that it's not even about politics anymore. There's a moral element here. Everybody has to have a certain deal breaker, a certain level of morality that says, you know, we can disagree on politics, we can disagree on things, but And I could say that group over there is a bad group. As angry as I am at the Israeli, as you said, if somebody said, I'm going to start dropping bombs on the Israeli government and just tear off and shut them all off and do to the Israeli governments what they're doing, the Israeli citizens, what they're doing to the Palestinians, I wouldn't be in favor of it because it's a moral issue. So to me, if you're not outraged to a point where you're driven to speak out, you're driven to act in an over-the-top manner, and I don't see that from Bernie or AOC or nobody else. You know, oh, we'll file a bill. Oh, we should do this. Well, that ain't over-the-top. You're still kind of going along with this outrageous system. You're just speaking up against it somewhat, yeah, but it doesn't seem to really be tearing your guts out like it's tearing mine out. You know what I'm saying?
I think I agree with you there. I do, because I mean they have voted against arms sales like Bernie most recently, but I know what you mean. Maybe Bernie should take a much kind of a larger kind of activist stance and maybe apply a little bit more condemnation to what's happening.
You know, I'll say this: there are some, dare I say, rather arcane Senate rules that will allow like one senator to block everything. Right? They better be glad I'm not in the Senate. They best be glad, because the most arcane rule that I could find to screw everything up, I would do it. And I would say, you're going to have to throw me out of the Senate to stop me. As long as you're committing a genocide, I will gum this mess up to know not what. But they won't. But there's not a senator there that'll do it. If I was there, I'd say, oh, I'll gum this thing up. If I can find a rule, you will pass nothing until this is over. That's what I would do. But, you know, they're upset about it, but they ain't all that upset about it, if you get my drift, Max. And this is a big one for me, man. When you start killing men, women, and tearing people to pieces and starving people, you've really crossed a line of humanity that should never be crossed.
Yeah, it is pretty dreadful, because of the positions I have on like certain things with like, you know, like you know, like immigration and like how I feel like America, we view immigrants kind of in this country, like at least like more like conservatives, especially. It is a shame that like Democrats kind of as well are, you know, and under Joe Biden, you know, someone who I did vote for, and Kamala, someone who I still voted for, ultimately, you know, like they are sponsoring kind of Israel's kind of what America is kind of like to immigration to Gaza, but even on like a more worse, tremendous level, you know, it kind of is like annex and destroy the people who are ethnically not of the ethnicity. And it kind of plays into like spirituality for me, because, you know, so many people kind of use Jesus as an argument, but crazily enough, from what I saw recently regarding geography, Jesus was most likely born in what is modern day Palestine, Gaza, or the West Bank. So,
well, let me add this. You know, we're coming to the end here, but let me add this. You got all these so-called Christian conservatives. Oh, we support Israel, but why? They believe that Israel has to do all kinds, well, a bunch of stuff has to happen. The bottom line is they believe that what's going on will bring on the final end and the Antichrist and all of that, and then the Jews will have to either convert. Now, the Jews in Israel have to commit this genocide, at which time they will have to either convert or they will be genocided. And guess who comes back then? The Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And I'm like, you know what? You people are sick. Anyway, you get the last word. Would you want to the next caller, Max?
This is definitely an issue that we firmly agree on. So I definitely like your stance. I like your take on this. I definitely continue to be your ally for sure on this, you know, and I think we both kind of support something a lot better in Gaza and the West Bank than what's going on.
Thank you very much, Max. Appreciate the call. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Rick calling you long distance from Germany.
My main man, Rick. It's always a pleasure to hear from you, brother. What's happening?
Is it true that two Jewish people were killed there in D.C.?
Yes. Yes. Apparently, there were two people from the Israeli embassy and a person shot them. It seems that this man had a manifesto. Based on what I've seen of his manifesto, it appears that he was angry over the Gaza situation and he resorted to violence. Just so you know, I am a nonviolent person, and I do not agree with violence against members of an embassy. I understand why people will get furious and go crazy, but I'm not ever going to advocate for somebody going, you know, to an embassy and shooting two people. I believe in the institution of diplomacy. Even during World War II, when the U.S. and various countries were at war with Germany and Japan, they still had embassies that were operating in their country, and they respected them, and they didn't attack the people even when they were at war with them. So as emotional as I am about that, I still do not believe in attacking people, unarmed people in an embassy. I would oppose it. It's just not who I am. But anyway, your thoughts on that, Rick?
Well, I'm going to step out on a limb. I think after Mandela was elected president in South Africa, somebody told me there will be blood in South Africa. Mm-hmm. There will be blood after the election of a black, dark-skinned mulatto president of the United States. I was optimistic. I didn't believe them when they said that. And I'm sorry for the two Jews killed in D.C., but I know in my heart of hearts there will be blood after this genocide in Gaza. I'm done, brother man.
Thank you very much. Yeah, let me just say this about that. You know, I'm opposed to the kind of violence, and I believe in the institution of diplomacy and of embassies. And I have friends in various embassies of various countries that I go in, some popular, some not so popular. And I don't want to walk out of embassy and somebody says, oh, you support this country or that country and start shooting me if I'm unarmed and shooting unarmed people. So I oppose that. However, that being said, I kind of predicted myself, if you listened to this show a while back, that at some point, I said, I fear that there could be, at some point, based on what Israel's doing, violence against innocent Jewish people or whoever, that the actions of Israel could motivate people who may be mentally unbalanced or whatever the case may be, that people could be motivated to take these kind of violent actions. So I'm in opposition to it always. But am I surprised that this kind of violence has occurred? I'm not surprised. In fact, I predicted that this kind of thing would happen. And I'm sad to see it. And I hope it does not continue. But I will not be surprised. I won't be surprised if it does. But let's just hope it doesn't. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? I fear that this caller might have set their phone down and walked away. Nope. Next caller, you're on the air. Can you hear me? Nope. I guess we don't have that caller. Do we have another caller? No more callers. Okay, we got open lines. 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Another discussion we're having is about Iran. Will the United States attack Iran? And, you know, what a fascist thing. What a fascist country you're in. When you're like, will we just randomly attack this or that country? Which you're not allowed to attack countries. But so I'll talk about it. We're going to take another call. Here's my answer. Nah, I don't believe we're going to attack Iran. I don't believe the United States has the conventional capability right now to attack Iran. I don't think we do. Iran is far too militarily strong. And let's face it, things didn't go so well with the Houthis in Yemen, and they are nothing beside Iran. So I don't believe the U.S. will attack Iran. Do not believe it. Could be wrong, but I'm 90% sure we won't. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, I am calling from PG County.
Yes, what do you have to say today? I'm all ears. I'm listening to you, my friend.
About Semitism. Look, the most anti-Semitic person alive today is Benjamin Netanyahu and General Gallant, because the Hamas, all Hamas are Semitic people. All Palestinians are Semitic people. All Arabs are Semitic people. And I can go through the list to give you the names of all the Semitic people. On the African continent, linguistically, we have over 300 million Semitic speaking people. I studied Hebrew, so So I can even link some of the Hebrew words in Hausa language and in Kiswahili language and all that. And you go to Ethiopia, where the true Jews, descendants of King Solomon, were black people. So for Netanyahu, who were just converts to Judaism, I ask you to read a book, The 13th Tribe. You will know that there are only 12 tribes of Israel, but these Europeans who were converted to Judaism from 742 are Europeans. They are not Jews, just simply because you have some Africans who are converted to Islam. That does not make them Arabs.
So well, here's the thing, too. I got to add this to it. You know, I often feel like this whole business about, with especially people like Netanyahu and these people, that they use this issue of Judaism, you know, as a shield so that they can do their dirty work. In the same way that ISIS does not represent ISIS, who are nothing but, if you look at the ISIS leader in charge of that's running Syria right now, he works for Israel and the United States and Turkey and the Saudis anyway. He is not representing a wonderful, peaceful tradition of Islam. He's nothing but a puppet for the empire. And in the same way that ISIS does not represent Islam, Benjamin Netanyahu is the same kind of murderous extremist, and he does not represent Judaism
or
Semitism.
Brother,
God knows he doesn't support he doesn't represent Semitism. Go ahead.
If Dr. John Henry Clark were alive, he raised the question in his debate with Lefkowitz, who and what are Semites? And if you look at his breakdown, these people are no Semitic people at all. The fact that they were converted to Judaism doesn't make them Jews. The Ethiopians are true Jews, and they are playing politics by, if you go to some of the African embassies where where Israel has embassies there, they brought these black Jews to be playing games with us Africans. We must
Well,
wake
I would
up.
I will say this. You know what? They can be Jews, they can be Hindus, they can be Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses. It don't matter to me. If whatever they choose to be or say that I'm this or that, it's irrelevant to me, because what I judge people by is their actions, right? And when you are acting in a manner that they are, I don't care what religion you claim to be. You can claim any religion you want, but your actions are vile. Their actions are the actions of barbarians.
Yes.
And
whatever
religion they claim, to be honest, I don't even really discuss it, because it's not even about religion to me. They claim to be a religion, right? They claim a religion, and then they use that religion as some kind of a shield. Recently, I forgot who it was. Somebody said, hey, this is a genocide. And then Netanyahu and his people said, why, that's anti-Semitic. So you commit a genocide. And when I call you out for committing a genocide, I'm the wrong one, because I said, hey, you're committing a genocide. What an anti-Semitic term. So as far as I'm concerned, whatever they call themselves, I don't care. I don't care if they are or aren't Jews or non-Jews, but they're committing a genocide. I'll tell you what they are. They're fascist criminals is what they are. And they deserve to be treated like fascist criminals.
Criminals. They are not Semitic. Because all Palestinians are Semitic. Syrians are Semitic. Jordanians are Semitic. All Arabs are Semitic. And as I have told you before, there are over 300 million Semitic people. So you cannot claim to be a Semite unless you find somebody who is consistently against all these groups who have been identified as Semitic. Then Semitism... I cannot wait to see the time that Netanyahu and Gallant and the Hamas would appear at the International Criminal Court. These people are criminals.
Right. Well, thank you very much. We're going to get going now, but I certainly appreciate the call. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. We have any more calls? Next caller. Okay, well, great. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Garland. This is Michelle calling from Ward 7.
Hi, Michelle. I'm all ears.
And Well, first off, I agree with you on the genocide, and I'm so angry about it. It's really hard to figure out where to, how to struggle with it. But it's not the only thing that's making me angry, so I'm going to say some other things. One of the things that most recently has caught my attention is the fact that, once again, we as district citizens are being sold out by our elected leaders, and we have really not had a local government that has fully represented us since Marion Barry left. And that's
here, here. Reality. And look, they attacked Marion Barry and set him up. You know, you knew Marion Barry must be doing something good anytime the FBI went after him. If the FBI goes after you, you're probably doing the right thing.
Exactly. And I, you know, so, I mean, so while we've already had to live through that. I mean, I still remember all of those commercials that they put on the morning that he was running for mayor again, trying, you know, they did everything they could to tell us not to vote for him. Which, of course, only made us really pissed because, like, how are you going to tell us who should be representing us? Like, you have some claim, some moral authority.
But speaking and how about this? All this they talk about, of all these crooked politicians, when Marion Barry, his last years when he was living over there, he didn't have that much. You know, I knew I had some people that were very good friends with him. Some I you know, met him a couple of times, but I knew some people that were very tight with him. And you know what? People would drop by his house and drop stuff off here and there and help him out because Marion Barry didn't have a lot. And then you think about it, all these crooked politicians. He didn't enrich himself. He could have enriched himself. He could have made a fortune. I'm not saying he was perfect. Nobody is. We all have our vices. But I tell you what his vice was not. He did not enrich himself off the taxpayers' money. Look at those crooks we have now that are loaded to the gills. Do you see the FBI going after them? Nope, and they're crooked. Does the FBI go after any members of Congress for insider trading? And heaven knows what they do this. What about all of these generals that leave the Pentagon and go to Lockheed Martin and make millions? Did they go after any of them? No. And Marion Barry did not enrich himself in any way. He did not have much at all when he died, and the FBI couldn't stop going after him.
That's right, and they're trying to go after his memory, but we aren't having it. But the thing is that people who are now in office, and I'm including not just the mayor, but we got council members who are falling right in that line. They're busy selling us out. We had passed a referendum twice saying that we wanted to get out of that slave, the remnants of enslavement, where they were paying servers and restaurant workers and charging them and not paying them a decent wage because they said it was made up because they got tips. So that's been a profession that has been made almost. I'm amazed that many people go into it, but I think it's just because jobs are hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that we passed a referendum on that more than a decade ago, and they didn't just overturn it. They just ignored it and went past it. And now the mayor is saying, after she wants us to give $1 billion to a billionaire to bring his team back into D.C., but she can't figure out how, well, she's not trying to. Figure out how it's going to help deal with homelessness or the lack of affordable housing or the lack of jobs that pay living wages. But she says to us, we're a hospitality town, so we have to protect our restaurateurs. But what about the people who make the restaurants work? Why is it that you can find reasons? I mean, she acts just like that dude over on 1600. You know,
well, you know what it is? You remember, you know what it is? And Reagan and Clinton came out with this term, supply side economics. You notice we have to help the restaurateurs. Supply side economics means we help the people who are the suppliers who create things. What about demand side economics? What about the people who buy the things? What about the people who spend the money, who pay the rent, who pay the bills? Nope, everything is about we got to help the restaurateurs. And you know, here's the thing about tips. Okay, yes. A waitress or waiter, whoever gets a few dollars in tips. But that don't have nothing to do with the owner. The owner says, I'm going to charge $20 for this plate of food. That has nothing to do with the tips. You've already decided how much it costs you to make that plate of food, how much you got to do that, and you're going to charge $20 for it. Whatever the person who comes in decides to take out of their own pocket outside of what you charge for anything and give to that server don't have nothing to do with you. You should pay that server a decent wage for what they're doing. So if you're paying them next to nothing, you're you're taking money out of their pocket. You're making extra profit on them. But you've already decided how much it costs you to make that a plate of food, to sell the drinks, to do all of that. Your profit is already there. You're just squeezing extra out of the worker by paying them peanuts.
How about that? And I'm not even sure all the time that if we leave a tip, that tip actually gets to the server. Oh. But I think that, you know, the fact is that, you know, we learned a long time ago, you know, there's always a way to make money if you have money. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about everybody having a piece of this pie. Our commonwealth is what we create in common. We didn't create it for them to rip us off, but that's exactly what's happening. As we live under the system of public production and private expropriation. And now,
well, you know what? And I got to add this. Exactly. I got to get ready to jump, but I got to add this. And you know, this what I call now, and Glenn Ford over at Black Agenda Report coined this phrase years ago, the Black misleadership class. And man,
yes.
Now more so than ever, we're starting to, Americans and Black folks are starting to wake up and say this Black misleadership class, because what we've been told is this. This is what we've been told. You've got the first Black so-and-so. Ooh, the first female Black this, the first Black senator, the first Black member of House, the first Black mayor, the first blah, 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 right? Sounds good. But what good is it to have the first Black anything if they ain't doing no more for me than anybody else? I don't care that you're the first Black whatever. If you go there and you enrich yourself and you stand for the exact same crooked system that looks out for the rich man as the first white person did. Your color, I'm supposed to symbolically feel better because you're in that office. I think Black folks are starting to learn that's a scam. It's a game to pacify us. And we're not pacified. You know why? Because if I go to the grocery store and say, okay, here's $200 worth of groceries. And they say, all right, how are you going to pay for them? Well, you know, we have the first Black female senator, mayor, blah, blah, blah. The man going to say, buddy, you got an empty hand. You get the last word.
Okay. My last word is that I'm not going to tell you what my comrade said. She said, I'm not trying to organize people who look like me. I'm trying to organize people who think like me.
So how about that? Who have the same needs. You know that I always say that. The working class people need to stand together. The rich folks stand together. Rich Black folks, rich white folks, rich Mexican folks, they don't even have a country anymore. They don't even care about borders. They don't care what country, because their money is going to some Caribbean island, to Cyprus, to some shell company. They don't even care about the United States. They don't color. Green. They don't care what country. It doesn't matter to them because their money is going to be hidden in some tax haven. And what we're told is I'm supposed to feel better because I got the first Black so-and-so. And I'm supposed to, oh, yeah. And then I go home and then I can't pay my bills. But I feel good because we got the first Black so-and-so to mislead me and do the same dirt as the last person that was in there that was white, green, gray, or grizzly, or whatever color they were, and support a genocide, I might add. 202. 588-0893. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi there. This is Harrison. I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
All right. Your thoughts?
So just a couple observations. I was in Palestine, in the West Bank, in February and March. I was in Jerusalem. I was in Bethlehem. I was in Hebron. I was in a couple other localities. One of the things that I wanted to say, I want people to hear this. The Palestinians are really tuned into the history of civil rights in this country. I saw this over and over again in different cities. I saw murals for George Floyd, mm-hmm. for Marcus Garvey, for Malcolm X, for Martin Luther King. In some ways, I actually felt like they were more educated about this stuff than most Americans. I mean, they really identify with the civil rights struggle. I was really moved by this. I really was, because I thought, here they are, thousands of miles away, but they see the common denominator here, and they identify with other people that have struggled. The other thing I found was, you know, they really, really pay attention to what's going on in our political space and in our protest space. And one of the things that I heard over and over again was, you know, don't forget about us. Like, fight the good fight for us. You know, they've more or less given up on all the corrupt Gulf Arab leaders and these other folks. And I really took that to heart, you know, like they follow our, the political activists here, the, like their Instagram pages, they really pay attention to what's going on. And I feel like, you know, it's one of the reasons why shows like this are so helpful. Like, it's not just an echo chamber. We have to keep amplifying the voices of people that are downtrodden. It doesn't matter if they're, you know, people, if we're pushing for elevation of minimum wage or folks in Palestine, all of these struggles are interconnected. So I wanted to get that out there, you know, because I've talked to people. I'm like, hey, you know, Palestinians really rock with a lot of American political activists. So they're really tuned into this. So I wanted people to know that. And in particular with African-American activists, they really, really sort of appreciate the love and the energy that African Americans send their way. And again, this was like echoed just through the, like the sheer number of murals. I mean, I saw Tupac Shakur graffiti, you name it, like more so than I would have anticipated. The other thing that I wanted to say, an observation, and you know, I know this isn't going to be shocking, but you know, Israel is an apartheid state, full stop. If anybody's wondering, you know, is it really that bad? It's worse than you can imagine. It is absolutely worse, particularly once you get outside of Jerusalem into the occupied territories. It is absolutely worse than you can imagine. And now the gloves are off, meaning, you know, I went there as an American, as a white American, to do some activist work. And one of the things that I discovered was that, you know, the Israelis, you know, they know that there's nothing really holding them back. And they would tell me this. You can get zip tied, you can get a bag pulled over your head. Stuff that would have been unthinkable, say, 18 months ago is now happening. And it's a really dire situation there. But, you know, I heard this just over and over again. Like, you know, they would, these IDF soldiers would make really gnarly comments. Like, they'd say things like, you know, tell your boss, meaning like Trump, I want a raise. And you can see it, you know, they're using American weapons, American technology. All of this stuff, you know, they're wearing Kevlar that's manufactured in the United States. Like, we're funding this. You know, my final thought is, like, you know, anytime you have murder, it's not a good thing when people are taking justice in their own hands. But I'm going to quote a famous civil rights activist, and this is the chickens coming home to roost, right? Violence begets violence. It's a tragedy what happened to those two American Jews, or I think one of them was Israeli, but the chickens come home to roost, believe me.
Well, you know, my position was, and my position is a moral position, but I also said I predicted that these kind of things would start happening. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm with you. I look, I can have my moral position, right? But I understand that there are people who emotionally get to a point where they just go berserk. They just become irrational, and they become vigilante, you know, activists. And I can say I would never do that, and I don't believe in vigilantism, but that don't change the real world. And it's predictable that these kinds of things would happen, and I've done it. And yeah, I you know, I can't say that you're wrong anywhere here, you know. So thank you very much. And I really appreciate a wonderful call, and I appreciate your contribution to the show. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
JD from DC.
Talk to me, JD.
Yeah, my heart hurts for the people that got shot the other day, man, you know, down at the memorial. But also, too, bro, I follow you on your social media page. You have wonderful guests, man, you know. As a matter of fact, your thing you did with Professor Danny the other day, man, that was beautiful. And I hope you keep that thing going, you know, because, you know, what's happening now in Haiti, you know.
Yes.
And some of the stuff that's going on in Sudel, in the regions over there, I might have spoke that wrong. But, you know, it is wonderful.
Yes, in Burkina Faso. I had a brother from Africa. I'm going to have him on WPFW.
Right.
This brother, he's a Nigerian actor named Joseph Okechukwu. I'm going to have him on. And he talked about what's happening in the Sahel, the changes in Africa, the African people. And you know what? He gave me some numbers about how much money that is being stolen from Africa that just made my head spin.
Yeah, and my brother has been over to Nigeria three times, and I had a chance to go over there once. And me and my brother have a conflict of opinion about the situation that's over there in Nigeria, because I saw some things that he did not see, you know, and I told him about, you know, some things, and I'm going to get past that because I'm not going to make my call long because I know other guys got to get on. And I told him, I said, bro, you're looking at some stuff that's wrong, you know. And as we got back over, because like I said, I'm in Oxon Hill, he's in Bowie, you know, but then we talked about that, you know, and everything else. But bigger than all that, everything that's going on over there right now, we need to have a hard look, you know. Along with that, and the main thing I wanted to call you about, you know, your perspective over there when it comes down to Ukraine and everything else. Brother, you have a perspective that a lot of our African-American community does not have, you know, because we got some people that are on social media and on our networks that don't see this thing the way it needs to be seen, you know.
Well, thank you very much. We got a couple calls, but I really appreciate it. Yeah, well, you know what?
Okay,
interesting is if you want to understand this, talk to the Africans. They're the ones being oppressed and see how they feel about it. They'll tell you. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to have that African brother on. I'll try to get him. He's a Nigerian actor. He's brilliant. I'm going to try to get him on here sometime soon and let him, Joseph Okechukwu, and let him let everybody know how the African people feel about a lot of things. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, you have me.
Yeah. Yes, you are on the air. Make sure you turn any radio or anything in the back to down so we don't get that extra echo.
Okay. I'll turn it down. Yeah. I'm going to have that African brother on. Hello?
Uh-oh.
You got
okay.
Me? Yeah. This
okay, go ahead.
I'm from Northwest D.C., and I feel like you feel I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I just had stroke recently. I want to say to you that I think that genocide is also a hate crime. So they said, let's talk about hate crime. No other charge to that food that's a hate crime.
All right. Thank you very much. Certainly appreciate the call. All right. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Okay, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Gustavo. I've been calling you ever since you were in the Sputnik radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically, these are times for people like us, people that were colonized, all to group together economically and also fight the good fight and basically take over the economy. No longer work for our white colonial bosses, and blacks of all nationalities, whether they be African or from the Caribbean or from the United States, we should group together and start doing business together and not allow colonizers or their indentured servants to control us economically anymore. And these times right now is the times that all of us have to get together and stand up to the colonial class. And if they're not doing business correctly with us, we got to cut them out of the equation.
Let me ask you this. I'm glad you said that because I have a different little bit of a different view, but I want to hear what you have to say. I view politics through the lens of economic class. Let me say, for instance, you got three people living next door to each other, a black family, a white family, a Puerto Rican family, right? Next to them is a Korean family. They all have the same needs, this economic needs. You know, they need a job, they need schools, they need health care, they need certainly decent food, you know, certain things, a roof over their head, right? They all have the same economic needs. So they're different races and colors, they are. Up the street is a guy who's rich, who owns whatever they all work for. The rich folks get together, and the rich folks get together, whatever. Look at Haiti. Haiti, you have a bunch of Haitian billionaires who make a fortune in the drug trade and banana trade and other trade, and all these poor Haitians are getting the shaft, right? I believe black folks, white folks, green, gray, and grizzly, whatever color they are. I believe that working class people need to come together to stand up against the oligarch class. The oligarch class comes together, and the oligarchs don't say, well, he's a black billionaire. He's a billionaire from Mexico, Carlos Slim, like the fifth richest man in the world, right? He's a billionaire. He ain't a Mexican. So I believe what we have to do is say the working class must unite as working class people throughout the country, throughout the world. It's like a war. You know what they say about a bayonet, right? A bayonet has a working class man on either side of it. We don't need to be killing each other in wars. We don't need to be fighting together. I believe that working class folks need to band together because we all have the same needs. And what I don't want to do is say to the white working class guy, you know what? Sorry, you got the same needs as me, and you're getting shafted and oppressed by the same oligarchs as me, but you're white, so I don't want you to be with me. I think we need to stand together against the oligarch class. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, my thoughts is that historically, the white working class has always been the ones to throw us under the bus because they get marginal benefits from whoever the advisors were, and they get to be the indentured servant.
Uh-oh, we're losing it. Well, we got a term in the black community called house slaves, house Negroes. And what that's what you're talking about, a group of people that are bought off by the system, a group of people that live a little better than we do. And since they live a little better than we do, they protect that system that buys them off. They protect the system that bribes them. And I understand what you're saying. But guess what? We were just talking about the black misleadership class, right? Members of Congress or whatever who are members of that class. They may not be the oligarchs, but they're paid and bribed and pampered by the oligarchs. So what are they willing to do? They're willing to turn their back on the working class, shaft us, forget us, not help us because they've got a bribe. Well, you know what? If there's a white person or a black person or any other person who's a member of that class who's living a little bit better than us, so they're going to turn their backs on us, we need to turn their backs on them. And if there's a white person or Puerto Rican or anybody else that's struggling like we do, struggling folks need to come together and we need to all struggle against the system. That's my opinion. 202-588-0893. We have any callers or we're still rolling? No more callers? No more callers. Okay, we got open lines, 202-588-0893, you know, and that's why I said, you know, internationally, when I look at the Africans, when I look at the Iranians, when the oppression against the Iranians, for God's sake, the United States overthrew the government of Iran in 1953, put in the Shah of Iran, a brutal dictator. And when the Iranians finally rose up in revolution and overthrew the Shah in 1979, the brutal dictator that we put in, they said, the Iranians are our enemies. Look what they did. They kidnapped Americans. They had a right to. Look, I'm an American. But if you overthrow America and install somebody, then I have a right to resist. And we overthrew an exterior government, overthrew the Iranians. When they had a leader who was looking out for Iran, the Iranians had not just a right, but they had a duty to revolt against the oppression of the brutal dictator that the United States put in. And then we have the nerve to say that the Iranians are doing something wrong, that the Iranians are our enemies because they want peace, they want freedom, and they want to exercise their rights under international law. The United States is committing a genocide, and we're going to say the Iranians are dangerous? Well, that's a crime before God and nature. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
JD from D.C. again, man. I got to say, man, when they overthrew Mossadegh and everything else, man, this country has a problem. There's a problem. Our problem is that we keep on doing these darn things over and over and over again, and even with Trump and everything else. I understand he wants to reel some stuff back, because guess what? As you said, you know, in some of your other social media posts, that you said, you know, and I've been listening to you and a couple other things, man, we got kicked out of the Red Sea.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, whoa, wow. And then I tell some of my folks that I know about these different type of things, and they're like, no, we didn't. Yes, you did. You know, yes, you did. And these things happen. And I'm not going to be on here too long and everything else. But like I said, you know, this whole Red Scare, you know, the Russia thing and everything else and whatnot, when I talk to people about that type of stuff, they're like, oh, they're bad. How are they bad? They're supporting the brother over there in Burkina Faso. They're supporting all these different things and everything else and whatnot, because guess what they want to do? They want to have some fairness and some assurity about what's going on in the world. And I'm going to get off with that. Okay, bro. Thank you, bro.
Thank you very much. All right. So I just go over this when it comes to Ukraine. To me, it's not about the country or anything else. Fairness is fairness, and reality is reality. The United States, and I'll just do this. If what happened in Ukraine, you happened in Mexico, the United States would go to power, would go to war. If the Mexican government got overthrown, and all of a sudden, the Russians were building bases in Mexico. Let me ask you this. NATO countries, since 2000, the year 2000, do you know what country in has had the most NATO exercises since 2000? Ukraine. Since 1997, what country has participated in the most NATO exercises? Ukraine. How about this? The Russians have always said, look, we've been attacked by Napoleon through Ukraine. We were attacked by Hitler through Ukraine. That's a red line. If you start putting troops and building bases in Ukraine, we're going to go to war. And they lie to Americans and say, well, Putin just decided to go out of the blue. The Russians have said over and over again, let me tell you something. We've been attacked by Ukraine. Through Ukraine, we're not going to be attacked. If NATO starts building bases in Ukraine, NATO starts arming Ukraine, NATO starts putting missiles in Ukraine, we're going to go to war and knock you out of Ukraine. And I have to say this. If Russia started building bases in Mexico and arming the Mexican army and saying to the Mexican army, you've got to stand up against the United States and building fortifications in Mexico so that the Mexican army could go to war with the United States and putting missiles in Mexico facing the United States. If Mexico started doing that, the United States would go to war. What makes anybody think that the United States could do that and Russia wouldn't go to war? If I was the president of Russia, I would have done the exact same things the Russians did, and so would you. And instead, they're going to lie to us about what happened. No, that's why. Go to Africa and ask the Africans what they think. Find me an African in Africa that ain't an American puppet. Go to the African people all over the country and tell me, why are Africans marching in the streets with Russian flags? Why? Go online and look. Why are Africans, Burkina Faso, Nigeria, why? Haiti. Why are Africans marching all over the place with Russian flags? Because they're on the side of Russia. Because what they say is this: the Russians helped us fight the colonialists before, and they're helping us now. So I am not for the United States, Russia, China, Bulgaria, Liechtenstein. I am for justice. And I understand that if you, as a superpower, start building bases on the border of another superpower, that superpower's coming going to war with you. And they did what any other superpower would do. And guess what's going to happen? As Barack Obama said, when they asked Barack Obama to start sending missiles and weapons to Ukraine, Barack Obama said, no. They said, why? He said, because Vladimir Putin will always have escalatory dominance. In other words, if you go to war on Russia's border, you're going to lose. That's what Barack Obama said, and Barack Obama would not do it. And you know what? Barack Obama was right. He knew the truth. So now what's going to happen? The United States is facing a catastrophic loss in Russia. The United States, France, Britain, all of the countries in NATO said, we're behind Russia. We'll give them our money. We'll give them everything we got. We'll give them all our weapons. And they're going to lose. Russia is going to crush the Ukrainian military, and there's nothing the U.S. or anybody else can do about it. And now they're facing a catastrophic loss, and they don't know how to get out of it. They don't know how to get around it, but there ain't no way around it. It's a catastrophic loss. So if you want to get in touch with me, Garland N, my first name and the first letter of my last name, garlandn@gmail.com. That's how you email me. You can find me on YouTube. I'm out there all the time. Lots of great guests. You can find me on Facebook, Garland Nixon, garland.nixon on Instagram. You can find me on Telegram. But thank you very much. I want to thank my main man, Kalia, for doing such a fantastic job. You know, I love my house music. Why don't we go old school with house music song? Now, let's get, I'm out.